that was a great start. Thank you so much, Bradfords. Wow, this is going to be a great day. I'm telling you, I'm excited. I got something to say, and everybody just kind of spoke right from the message I prepared and sang from the message. I'm so, so excited. I'm a little curious why the Reeds are sitting in the front row.
It's sparse here. We want
Nice! Thank you! Thank you so much! That's such a sweet gift! Mwah. Thank you! That's awesome! So, good morning! Welcome to the West Valley Center for Spiritual Living, and I'm Reverend Karen Rice. I am the spiritual leader of this community, but I guess you all know that. And but what you didn't know, and I didn't know, was that today something special's happening. There's something going on in the universe, and I had this desire to create a message that would talk about the law of attraction. Now, here's what's weird: the title of the talk is Strange Attractors. Nobody called me to see what that was going to be about. So I have trained my leadership, I think, in such a perfect way to intuit the right things, because you sang about it, she prayed about it and read about it, and even Clyde spoke about it in the announcements. And so here we are on this glorious adventure and on this idea of strange attractor. And before I tell you what that means and the curious, circuitous route of digging deep sometimes unearths some really juicy stuff, I think that's why I'm so revved up today. But I'd like to begin, as I always do, with a quote from the founder of this teaching, Dr. Ernest Holmes. And here's a beautiful, I think I'm going to be speaking to the law of attraction in a slightly different, I'm going to give you a versatile application, something a little bigger than what we usually talk about, or broader or different. I'm not sure what it is. You can tell me at the end of the day. Here's the quote. We are thinking, choosing centers of awareness in the mind of God. I'm going to repeat that one. We are thinking, choosing centers of awareness in the mind of God. And according to the sum total of all of our thoughts, we are either silently attracting good to us or we repelling it away from us. Now, there's something we don't talk about very often. I love that the music was really about receiving the good and affirming it and opening ourselves to it, this or something better. There's so many lines in that one, that last song you just did, that really speak to the message that I'm speaking to this morning, and that is that we can't draw our good to us if we don't have a willingness to receive that good. Right? So I think that if you look at that story Reverend Clyde told about his dad, if he wasn't willing to receive the love that was there in the intent of the father, he could have missed that. And something in that encounter that he's had again and again, that we've all had again and again, either with our kids or our loved ones or our best friends, you know, there's something there that we can miss the love. We can miss the gift. We can miss the presence of God trying to express in the moment if we don't open ourselves to receive it. And so that's what I want to address today. I think there is a way that we are always, this is how I like to say it, we are always attracting or repelling. We are pulling things in our life or refusing to accept the good that's right in front of us, or we are attracting negative things and missing the way there's good that we could be receiving instead. We are always attracting, we are always accepting, or we are allowing the stuff in our life that we experience. We are participating. We're all the time, we're participating. So we have this beautiful teaching where now Holmes is inviting us to look at the sum total of your thoughts. What the heck is the sum total of your thought? Have you ever thought about what that might look like? You know, when I talk about it, I often like to think of it as a color. What color would it be if I shook it all together? Because the sum total now, we're speaking about the general tendency of your thought, and that's important because it reveals what you really believe. And this teaching is based on that scripture that says, the words of Jesus that say, it is done unto you as you believe. So there's something really important here. And in fact, I believe that the most important words, I'm glad this is being recorded, in case you're not writing it down. I think that the most important words that have ever been spoken from this platform or spoken in that conversation circle or any classroom activity or book discussion we've had, the most important words that we share is that this: if your life isn't working, change your mind. Right? So, you know, your life may be working and you may be willing to accept things just as they are, but are you willing to accept something even better? And that's where we here push you a little bit. We really push you, you know. So this is different than studying Eastern spirituality, where you just accept and you're free from not suffering because you don't have attachments. We're actually saying sort of the opposite of that. We're not nullifying that. There's a time and a place for that, and there is a time and a place for us to be awake and conscious and actively participating in our own lives. You know why? Because we're individuals and we're unique, but we are a part of the greater whole. We are a part of the greater whole, and a lot of what I'm speaking to today is about wholeness, how we are responsible in our own little corner of our own little world in the way that that then impacts the greater whole, because there is always that greater whole going on. So what a fabulous spiritual philosophy this is that tells you to think and that encourages you to change your mind if there's something you'd like to see different. So I want to tell you now how I came up with the talk title and what a strange attractor is. So I didn't know it was really something. I didn't know in this world of science, a strange attractor is something. How many of you have heard that in the scientific world? He's practicing Buddhism. He's not answering. He's staying neutral. So I had no idea, but I always type it in a search engine to see what comes up, just to make sure I'm not missing something that's important or something that might be out of place with what I'm actually trying to say. So a strange attractor, I thought, was just going to be a talk on the law of attraction and how we think we attract strange things sometimes. And it is kind of strange how we work the law and then we forget and go back to sleep and have a bad dream. And then we wake up and we work the law again for a little while. But it's more than that. A strange attractor actually comes out of, it's a term that comes from chaos theory, which is so interesting to me because I talk about that. It keeps showing up in the research that I'm doing to try to make sense out of the being a vision caster for a spiritual community is making sense out of all this stuff we see going on in the world. So I study things like chaos theory, and I study things like strange attractors in a backwards sort of a way. And what I found out was that when you Google that, it takes you to all these ideas about fractals. Now, there's a certain kind of science and spirituality that just goes right over my head. So this is the kind of talk where I spent way too much time doing the research simply so I could simplify it and speak to you from a little bit, with a little more accuracy than I might otherwise not have. And so the term strange attractor was used and made known by a man named Edward Lorenz in 1961 to 1963. He was doing some research with computers. Now imagine what research with computers looked like in 1961 and 1963. You had to have a job. You certainly didn't have a PC. Right? And then I have this vision of like one of those science fiction movies where there's this honeycomb central thing with all these robotics that are pulling disks out and putting them over here so that you can accumulate information or study data or whatever that is. But it's where they got the term the butterfly effect. So Edward Lorenz was studying weather patterns, and he accidentally stumbled on this because he was using computers. He stepped away from the computer. He fed it a little information. He stepped away. He came back like an hour later, and it had created this fractal that was just amazing, that there was a movement in the numbers that he had put in that should have been, he thought they should have been exact. It would have created a pattern, but there was this little slight change in it. And now, if you can YouTube little videos of fractals that have been computerized, and they're colorful, and they move, and you see that they have this geometric, they're rich with depth and shape and patterns, and they often look like butterflies. And it's where we got that he coined the term the butterfly effect, but then we have sort of misused that. So the butterfly effect is that idea that when a butterfly flaps its wings in China, there's a storm in Texas. And though there's merit to us trying to understand the way all movement impacts other movement, Hollywood kind of took us in a different direction about what that all means. It's pretty scientific. I don't really understand it. But here's what I did find that simplified it for me to begin to understand it. The definition of a strange attractor is a pattern of order that can be found in a disordered system. So it appears, it's a chaos theory, right? It appears like, oh, everything is out of whack. But if you could get far enough away, you might see the beautiful pattern that's coming from something that is considered a whole. Although the whole, W-H-O, the whole of it, the all of it, W-H-O-L-E, is always only a picture of a greater whole. And that expands always greater and greater out into the universe. For instance, here's where you're going to get what I'm saying. This really helped me. You can watch an insect, a single insect, a beetle or an ant. You can watch an insect's behavior, and it can look random and insignificant. Here's this ant way away from all the other ants. And it can just look not important, not connected in any way. But when you study the population of that group of ants, there's something there to analyze and something that is going on, right? This is the consciousness of a group. This is the intelligence of the universe being demonstrated in a small way. You study the population and you can analyze that. You can begin to see patterns, or you can see purpose. So now we have something a little more substantial to help us understand it. So here's the quote here's the quote where I found the word sweet attractors. Leonard Sweet's book, What Matters Most. He's also the guy I like to mention him. He's so funny. He's Christian, but he wrote this book called The Bad Habits of Jesus that is really written to help Christians understand we got to let Jesus off the God thing and see the humanity in it in order to get the message that we can use. It's really a lovely book. But Leonard Sweet wrote in his book, What Matters Most, this passage where he used that term sweet attractor. I'll give you the context. Successful living, I'm already interested. Successful living is the pre-successful uncovering of what physicists call strange attractors. Truths are hidden within the everyday, waiting to be revealed. When they emerge, they generate strong resonances. Oh, see, I really like this. Now it's all starting to make a bigger sense for me. Let me tell you what I'm thinking. And so there's the successful, this is like pure Neville. You know, you imagine the end and the beginning. So there's imagining success, pre-success, before you have created whatever it is, your project, your problem is solved, whatever it is, there's something scientifically that is spiritually, we're talking quantum, let's use quantum physics as an example. There's something going on. There are truths that are hidden within the everyday waiting to be revealed. And so something starts to emerge and it generates a strong resonance. It creates a reverberation. There's something going on here. It's that something that leads us to the aha moment of understanding. or of seeing a bigger picture. So you know how that is. It's like you look for your keys, can't find your car keys, you got to get somewhere. Where did I leave my keys? I've looked through my purse 12 times. And it's when you quit looking and you go and you sit down and have a little chat with yourself or think of something else, even that would help. Then we come to a greater truth. Something stirs within us. Oh, wait a minute. They have to be here. I got myself home last night. They have to be here, so that means that they're not being hidden from me. It's just a matter of me connecting with where they are. And then suddenly, you just know. You just go to that perfect place where they are. Let me give you a different example of how this really hit home for me. There are certain things in my life that I do now that I didn't have to do 5 or 10 years ago. I have learned some great tricks. And some of the things that I do now felt very problematic or challenging when I first took them on. So let's take one that we can all relate to. The sink is backing up in one of your bathrooms. Okay, so that was never a big deal in my life because there was always somebody to fix it. That was no big deal. Now the sink is backing up. I don't have the same person to fix the clog in the drain. And so now I'm feeling like something's not right in my life. And so it throws me into kind of a discordance. Darn it, that sink is backing up. And then one day I get tired of it. You notice how I'm getting tired of something or bored, you know, or we say sick and tired. I think it's that we just wake up. We just have been in a trance. We're just having a dream, and we don't realize that there's a way right in front of us because there always is. And so one day I have a thought. I just have a little thought that becomes an idea, like, wait a minute, I could get that clog out. I'll do it girl style. You know, I don't use when I use a screwdriver, I have a Phillips head and a flat head together in a butter knife. And it works really well, right? Solve the same thing. I don't need two tools. I got a butter knife. So I'm going to do it in a girl way, and I take a coat hanger, and I bend it so that it's got a good little hooky thing, and I'm going to go in the bathroom, and I'm going to just pull the thing out and pull the junk out of the drain, except that you can't get the thing out. I didn't know that. You know, I've never had to clean it before. So I go in there, and I know I sound spoiled, don't I? Well, I was for a long time, and now it turns out I'm pretty efficient also and spoiled. And so I go, and I tug at it, and I try and unscrew it, and I do everything in my what I believe is my skill set, and I can't get that thing out. Therefore, I can't cram my little homemade wire down there, and I can't clear out the drain, and I'm perplexed, and I feel defeated. There's an obstacle in my way. Then I go and I sit down. You know, it's like I sit down. Now, I'm not trying to solve the problem. I go and I sit down, but something in me, that pre-successful emergent, is working on it. I don't even have to figure it out. It's working on it. And it then opens me because the law of attraction, all I want is for the claw. I want flow in my home and in my life. And so because I understand there's another way, there's a tiny space of willingness and opening within me that says, wait a minute, what do you believe? I ask myself that a lot. You know that. And I believe that there's nothing and no one against me. Therefore, now I have put the clog drain in the proper order. Wait a minute, I thought I couldn't do that because it felt like a blockage that was an obstacle that I could not overcome. Ha, ha, ha. Huh. Isn't that a funny thought? Then you get to laugh at that funny thought, then you get creative. So then I go back and I look under the sink to start seeing, trying to figure out how things work. Now this is the time where, you know, if you're tech savvy, I probably would have pulled out my phone and Googled it, and somebody would have shown me a little really easy step by step by step. But the bottom line is, I freed the clog. I got the thing out, my little wire hook worked, and I freed the clog, and now my world is bigger. My skill set is bigger, But what happened was I cleared the blockage in my belief. Do you hear that? This is important because that's what it is. Because guess what? In God, there are no clogs. There are no clogs in God. There are no problems in God. Sometimes I'm not even sure there are solutions in God because there's a bigger something going on. When I can get over the idea that something is stopping me, something or someone in any way in my life, when I can get beyond that, I can see I have been looking from a small tunneled view and that there's I've separated myself from the whole. The way the whole works, the all of life works, because there's a harmony. There's an order in which everything works. How now can I apply that? Now see, what's happened is I've got more confidence now because I went through that process and because I recognized that in that process, that the success of freeing the clog came in the pre-success emerging resonance that, yes, you can. Yes, there is. What's the spiritual truth here? Something different now is unfolding in my very life. So, you know, we say sometimes that we experience that the solution is in the problem. But here's what I was thinking this morning while I was talking to myself in the mirror, getting ready for you. I rehearse a lot. Do we solve the problem, or does the answer reveal itself once we change our mind and quit focusing on what's wrong? Okay, this is exciting stuff. So it's okay that we encounter blocks, because it gives us this opportunity. I mean, maybe that's the whole purpose of living on the planet, is to figure this stuff out. But in truth, there is that harmony, that perfect divine life. When we say we are perfect, whole, and complete already, that's what we're talking about. There's a greater truth that is hidden. It is trying to emerge. Sometimes that looks like the illness that our vitality and vibrancy of life is trying to emerge, and this looks like an obstacle, but it is only calling us to recognize the truth of wholeness, that everything we need is already given, and every time we graduate from one level, we get to a higher level to see that there's even more for us to play in and to delve into. So we just separate ourselves from our good sometimes. Sometimes we accidentally push it away or repel it, as Holmes said, because we haven't realized how easy it is to just say yes to it, to call it back into our life, to change that separation into divine connection. So when I think of chaos or complexity of life and the way the scientists talk about it in chaos theory, what I see is it's spiritual training. That appearance of chaos is calling us to a higher level of looking or viewing our life and our experiences. And once you get a glimpse of that, that's more, you don't need to go back. You don't want to go back. So we are actually speaking about the way you step into life, the way you look at the conditions of your life, and that anything that's there that doesn't seem like it belongs there, well, what we do is we train our own mind first. I don't know. I had such a great way I was going to say it, but I'll come back to it. Or not. Doesn't matter. We're evolving our own mind. I think that's what I was trying to say. So Ken Wilber. How about that, Ken Wilber? Yeah, I know. Ken Wilber is like one of the smartest people I've ever tried to read. The guy is brainy. He's brilliant. He can be spicy and controversial at times, but I promise after he's gone, he will be considered one of the great geniuses of our day. Ken Wilbur wrote a lot of books, and I'm always trying to read them. I don't know why I can't just leave it alone, because it's really hard. But Ken Wilbur said this: we only grasp the underlying spiritual structure through the way it expresses externally, right? We only understand the spiritual laws by the way we apply our spiritual understanding, which comes at by levels of what we are able to embody, to embrace and understand, by what goes on in the outer world. So Emerson said, we study nature in order to understand the divine things that we can't see, and that there's this great gift in that. So spiritual principle, we're talking today about the law of attraction particularly, but you know what? Let's just say the law, spiritual law, which we call spiritual principle, is always working. And as we apply it, especially when we apply it consciously, when we are choosing to use the law, as Dr. Holmes used to encourage us to do, we are sharpening or clarifying our spiritual vision. See, that's the inner vision, so you have better insight. You have better insight. You have better understanding in that inner way, so that everything in the external or physical way has potential for us or makes sense to us, and we can live in the world without being completely depressed all the time. Inner vision is that idea of wholeness. It's just a new way of seeing. It's about seeing the holes is kind of my theme today. We just see more than we used to. But let me read to you what Ken Wilbur said next. Everywhere we look in nature, we see nothing but holes. W-H-O-L-E-S. We see nothing but holes, like the ant or the population of ants. You can see this the single, but you can also see, there's a greater whole. Each hole is a part of a larger whole, fields within fields, stretching through the cosmos, interlacing each and everything with each and every other thing. Understand that this is the evolution of consciousness. Wow. The way one thing relates to the next, the way one thing gives you the opportunity to see the whole thing, the way that all of life is connected to everything else, the way a tree is an ecosystem. You could see a whole tree, but you could also look at a leaf and see a whole leaf. You could see that there are insects that live in the tree, and beyond the tree, you could see that there's a forest that is another whole. Do you understand? The one whole begets the next whole. Holier and holier. So this is how he says this. Evolution, this is the evolution of consciousness as we can understand this evolvement. So here's how I thought of it. This is my original take on it. By the way, a smart scientific man writing such poetic, beautiful words, that just intrigues me. But here's how I said it. Here's what I want to say to you is look closely, because this universe is a well-thought-out entity. And so are we. All right, so all that evolving and revealing and integrating and unifying, that stuff is always going on. And we can see that there is great change happening in the world. And I want to invite you to play with some of these ideas. What if that great change that is so hard to understand because we look at the problems, what if that great change is a part of a bigger whole that is trying to reveal something new? It is that precursor, that pre-success resonance within us, so something stirring and inviting us. And then on top of that, look at us sitting in this sanctuary on a summer day in the desert, studying a spiritual philosophy that has practical wisdom we can use for absolutely every aspect of our lives. Yeah. Now, we take what little bit of that individual, and we do like to individualize it, and I encourage it. I'm teaching a class right now that's about finding your own personal theology so that you can stand strong in your own integrity and know what your spiritual beliefs are. I'm not teaching people in this class. I'm inviting people to find what, you know, dig deep. What is it that you believe? Because when we start digging, we will start noticing where we are not inviting our good into our life. And the places that we desire to have higher and better experiences are just there waiting for us. It's a good thing they don't mock us while we're doing our work, right? You're good sitting there. Imagine that. You're good sitting there mocking me, like, oh, I'm over here. You caught me. Whoops, nope, now I'm over here. Holmes said this fabulous statement, and you know, when you hear this, you'll know how much I love it. The universe is a spiritual system impregnated with divine ideas and peopled with spiritual forms of expression. Woo! Impregnated with divine ideas and peopled. We're the people. Peopled with spiritual forms of expression. He goes on to say, and he says this hither and there and here and there and everywhere. I love it when I read this. He says that we people our own world with forms of our own acceptance. Oh. We people our own world with forms of our own acceptance. In other words, the people in our life, the things in our life, the conditions we live in, all those experiences are reflecting to us, whether we are aware of it or not, what we are willing to accept in our life. Yes. You want better friends? Start believing better friends are there for you. You want better conditions in your life? Start looking around, because right where you are, God is. Right where you are, every desire of your heart is waiting for you, not mocking you, waiting for you. So what is it that you attract? What is it that you repel? What is it that we accept or allow? How are we are participating in our own life is that which matters. Because again, it's not just the individual, but we're talking about a greater whole. The chaos that we see in the world right now reveals the collective consciousness of humanity. Now, that could be scary, or that could be exciting. And I say that I'm going to look at it, and I'm going to see it, and I'm going to feel my heart flutter at the little fear, and then I'm going to move right into, wow, isn't this exciting? Because this is the pre-success stuff. This is the way we are beginning to resonate, that there has to be better than what we are doing now. We are changing. We are evolving. We are evolving. Spirituality is evolving. There is a cultural evolution we are watching unfold, and somebody pointed out to me that it's important for us to understand that when we talk about cultural evolution, we're not talking about individual cultures merging into one harmonious something blended. We're talking about a worldwide cultural evolution where each and every unique culture is looking for a new way to relate to every other culture. It's not sameness. Remember that. It's not trying to make us all the same. It's us just looking for a new way to work together in a way in which we can honor the planet, we can honor each other, and we can make higher choices than the choices we've made in the past that we didn't like anyway. So, there's a lot to say. So, the chaos in the world is just reflecting a consciousness that seems to be well talked about lately, because everybody's talking about the clog in the sink. Everybody's talking about the way things aren't flowing, and nobody's willing to get out the coat hanger and bend it up and get under the sink and try and just see, what can I do? What can I do? This doesn't have to be an obstacle. This doesn't have to block me from my good. And as a matter of fact, if it does block me from my good, then my good is not expressing into the world at a time when the world needs it. And so I got to readjust my thinking. I got to see there's something bigger trying to present itself. I got to be able to stand here on Sunday mornings and talk to people no matter what's going on in the newspaper or in the world. When we are willing to practice the law, to be choosy, to imagine, well, we imagine anyway, why not imagine good? Why not imagine divine order and harmony? Why not imagine the highest and best in terms of well-being for all living beings? And why don't we find a way to make that the sum total of or the big tendency of our thought instead of being distracted by the clogs in the drains or the obstacles that seem like they're there to keep us from our good? You become the divine solution when you quit looking at all the problems, right? Because the solution is here, and it is trying to reveal itself through us. So use your good thoughts. Sometimes it's like you're having a bad dream, you know? It's like it's a nightmare. And you wake up and you're so glad it's just a nightmare. So let's wake up. And if you witness somebody thrashing around and having a bad dream, you know, shake them. We need to help each other to wake up and to see. Don't miss the beauty and the perfection that's right in front of us. And better yet, what it would happen if we did rise a little higher. And so the perspective would be so different. Every thought, every image, every word that we dabble in or play with, everything we put into our mind influences us in one way or another. And so I have a takeaway for you. I have a gift. I thought long and hard. In fact, this has been sitting on my desk for a few weeks, and I knew that today was the day. I have something that I'm going to invite you, something I use in my own life. I call it that plus one. That, THAT, that plus one. So notice in your life what you think. Notice what you worry about. Notice what things you find challenging, whether you name them challenging or not, because that's where some good's trying to present itself to you. So here's what I decided. Holmes says if I get up in the morning and I do my prayer and my meditation, I will already rise above 51% of the population, because most people don't do that. So I align myself to that energetic, that wisdom, that universal intelligence that is always flowing and moving, that never gets a clogged drain. The clog happens only in my mind. So I do my work, but here's what I've added to it. And I'll tell you how this came about. I have decided that I am going to do whatever I need to do. If I need to watch the news or read the news, I typically get my news from the internet, and I'm choosy how I do that. I'm going to pay attention to how much time I have spent watching the news. And so if I watch the news for 10 minutes, there's that. Now I have made a commitment to myself that I'm going to stop, and I'm going to spend 10 minutes plus one more minute doing something that makes me feel good. And there is a lot of option out there. And what I think the first part of the homework assignment should be is to start listing those things you can do that make you feel good and not bad. And you know what? It's real easy. You don't even have to go take a walk. Take a walk usually does it for me. Although I can also take my thoughts and worries with me on my walk if I'm not careful. But here's what I notice. When Hugh and I love that summer show. There's a summer sort of a talent show that comes out only in the summers, and the judges, you know, award people, and there's $1 million prize at the end, and there's a lot of hokey funny stuff in it that I'm not interested in. But there's also more of some really gorgeous stuff that happens that makes me feel good, and that's why I like to watch that show. And so this season, there was a young man who was severely autistic, yeah. Right? You can go home if you type in YouTube and just type any variation of what I'm about to tell you, and you will be able to watch him play the piano and sing. He can't even communicate, but he sits at the piano and masterfully plays the piano and has an exquisite voice, right? I love that. When I sit there and I watch somebody perform, even if they're not challenged, you know, I mean, last season there was this young 14-year-old girl that thought she was Janis Joplin. She didn't even know who Janis Joplin was. But it makes my heart sing. And when I can feel my little eyes starting to water, I know I'm having a holy moment. So what I'm going to do with my life, if I'm going to watch 10 minutes of news, I'm going to watch 10 minutes plus 1 minute of something that makes my heart sing. Or I'm going to go out, you could do this at the grocery store, I'm going to have an outing, and I'm going to go look for random acts of kindness. Don't miss them. They are everywhere. I'm not even telling you have to do them. I'm saying go notice them, because when we witness them, we bring that experience of our own emotionality of witnessing becomes an expression that's here on the planet that was not here. It's that law of attraction. If you intend it, if you see it, if you have a pre-success resonance that, yeah, I'm going to go out and see something wonderful now, and count how many random acts of kindness you can see in the supermarket. If you're sitting there thinking, oh, that would never happen at my supermarket, you know what I'm going to tell you? You need to clean up your vision, because it's there. It's there. So there's that, plus one more minute so that you're on the top side of it. Watch TED. You've never seen a TED talk and you're looking for an easy way to do 10 plus 1 or a plus 1, that plus 1. Watch a TED talk. TED talks can be so inspiring, and the reason is that there are so many topics, you will find something that interests you if you look for it. But you have to look for it. You have to intend it. Do you hear a theme here? Do you hear a theme here? There's so much wisdom in the world. When I see YouTubes of people rescuing animals, you know, the turtle, the water turtle that got in the net, or the deer that got tangled in the brush, and then ordinary people go out, and then for whatever reason, they're not afraid to, like, help, because then ordinary people go out and cut the net away or untangle the brush or stop their car on the freeway and save the dog. Don't do anything dangerous, but I'm saying just watch that stuff and be careful of Facebook. Because that stuff is on Facebook, but if you keep scrolling, you might cancel it out with the very next thing you see. There are lots of mixed posts, right? So you have to be really choosy. So I want you to practice that with me. I want you to know that if you've just had an argument with somebody and you're feeling all stirred up, then walk away, try and shake it off and think, well, I think that was about 8 minutes long. You can just estimate. It doesn't matter. There's that. I'm going to do 8 minutes plus one more minute of something else. And you know what's going to happen? We're going to change our lives. But more than that, when we change our own experience, it then ripples out into the world. You might could call it a part of that butterfly effect. You might say it has something to do with strange attractors. All I know is that God gave us this. God gave us all of this. And there is some kind of crazy power that we always have access to. It is a power for good. It is a power that is greater than we are. And we can use it. And in this teaching, we do use it. So I want you to join me. I want you to see that for every great time you get reconnected to the whole, or you wake up from the dream, or you unclog that drain, that every time you have a success, You are adding something even grander to the world because you are training your own consciousness to have hope, to see that there's more, to not be weighed down and discouraged by the effects that we see, and to know, to absolutely know that there is simply this gorgeous divine something that we can't see, but we can feel it. And it is calling us. It needs us to have those wonderful experiences, to be good witnesses to the beauty and the wonder of this thing called life. And so take a breath. And at this point, I want to move directly into that gorgeous place of sacred prayer. If I could just ask the practitioners and ministers to stand and circle the room, please. How beautiful. There's an in-breath as well as an out-breath, and they only work together. And so as we turn within with this sacred anticipation of encountering that resonance that is the divine, I simply know that there is no place that God is not. And therefore, right here, in this very room, right now, even at the core of our individual being, God is. God is the fullness of life, the beauty, the power. The exquisite and perfect way that there is order in this universe. God, as that infinite intelligence, the wisdom, that even as we sit in this sacredness of prayer, we can feel that quickening within. It is that divine mind. There is only one mind, and we can feel it and sense it and know it because we are a part of that whole. And so everything we could ever need or want or yearn for, every joy, every tiny little peak of beauty, every financial concern or need or the pouring and flowing of financial goodness into our lives, none of it is restricted or contained in any way. And so in this moment, after hearing the words and pondering the meaning and the message this day, allowing ourselves to embody it in a visceral way, we are equipped. We are learned people. We are a part of the glorious whole. And we accept and understand with greater clarity that pure potentiality is inborn within us. We are embedded with potential. It is inherent in our divinity. And so in this sweet place of knowing, in this way that we open ourselves to be vessels to receive that good, we become containers for that beautiful future that is emerging on this planet even now. We dare to imagine beyond the seeming chaos to see that life is insistent, that healing is natural, that things are always restored to order and it gets better and better and nothing stands in our way. Right here, right now, in this very room and in our being, all of that fullness of spirit itself healing us, strengthening us, changing our minds so that we see all of our relationships are blessed with this givingness of love that sometimes we're blind to. And so today we open ourselves. We say yes to life. We say yes to God. We allow ourselves to have that grace just pour into our lives. We allow ourselves to recognize the way in which there is a healing in the cells of our body, in the muscle, in the tissue, in the organs, in the way that we miraculously function day by day. And when we are injured, we heal and time passes and we feel good again. And always right in front of us is this fullness of life. Right within us is the vibrancy of spirit itself. All of our needs are met in God. All things are possible. So we just breathe this in. We just breathe it. We accept it. We stand for truth and beauty and goodness, and that is what we allow in our lives. That is what we open ourselves to participate in. And when anything looks different than that, we have the tools, the skills, the people in our life that can help wake us up for this and for so much more. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. We just allow ourselves to feel that gratitude stirring within us. Thank you, God. Thank you, life. Thank you, Infinite Spirit, for this awareness, for this new opportunity to look up, to remember again. Only love is real. And in this gratitude, I simply release the words of this prayer into that divine law that always responds affirmatively. And together we say, and so it is. Amen.